Well, good evening. It's good to see everyone out tonight. I'm looking for cues from the back row that my mic is working and you can hear me. Okay. I've had the opportunity to speak both in this assembly and at other places, even outside of God's worship, in places of business. And so I've had the opportunity to have a few introductions in my career, and that might be the worst one I've ever received. I don't know what it is. Every time I preach, Rob's a song leader, and we have these jabs back and forth. But I love Rob. I appreciate those songs very much. And I just want to say thank you for the chance to be here tonight, to come up front and to share a few words. I want to thank the elders for giving us men, various men from time to time, the opportunity to do this. And I just want to thank everyone for being here tonight. This lesson will be a little bit unique, so I'm going to prepare you in advance for that. If you're not a note taker, but you can find a pen and a piece of paper, or if you have a device that you can type some notes on, I would encourage you to grab that. I won't ask you to take notes throughout the whole lesson, but there are a couple points where I'd like you to write a couple things down. One of the benefits of being able to preach is the ability to preach things that are convicting to yourself. And I'm not sure if I drew the short straw with the timing of this lesson or not, but after a full week of gospel lessons from Josh Higgins and then a powerful lesson this morning from Andy, I feel a little bit inadequate to come up here and talk about what I'm going to talk about, but I hope that we all will recognize that God's Word is where the power lies. And it's helpful to hear messages from people who are energetic or entertaining or have a style that captivates us. But it's important to remember that God's Word is what we're here for. The last time I spoke, we talked about temptation and how to prepare ourselves to overcome it. I've been thinking a lot lately about the absolute evil nature of Satan. And I've realized that it's time to recognize what God has done for us and what Satan does to us. I don't know if it's because I'm a competitive person or what, but I think a lot about the conflict between light and dark, between good and evil, between the desires of the flesh and the will of the soul. And I've been thinking a lot about this group and the time that we're in as a local group of God's people. And I realize quite a bit lately that we have a lot of really good things happening here. So what should we do? The title of tonight's lesson is Wake Up. And hopefully it's not far enough into the hour for this to be a literal request. But I'd like to challenge each of us tonight to wake up and think about a couple very specific things. Again, I challenge myself as well. I don't know how you feel in the morning when you first wake up. This is the best picture I could find to describe how I feel. Maybe a little confused, a little foggy. You're quickly trying to remember, okay, what is happening to me? Where am I at? Am I traveling? Am I at home? What's happening today? What day is it? Did I oversleep? What am I going to wear today? For me, there's sort of a flurry of thoughts that come into mind. But waking up is a beautiful thing. It's a beautiful thing because we recognize that God's given us the gift of another day, the blessing to do good things in His kingdom. But it can be confusing initially. I'd like to challenge us to wake up and think about two specific things tonight. The first one is the many great blessings that God has given us. And the second thing I want us to think about are some lies that Satan tells us. I've been thinking about these two things recently and realized that they're very connected to each other, as odd as that may seem. And so as we go through the lesson and consider some scriptures, I want us to come back to that point of recognizing the connection between our blessings and the lies of Satan. God blesses us in many ways, both as individuals and also as a local church. I'd like you to take out a piece of paper, or if you make notes on your phone, and I want you to just take 30 seconds, and I want you to write down two or three ways that God has blessed you personally as an individual. Go right now. I see a lot of you not writing, so I'm going to think you're thinking it in your head. Ten seconds. All right, stop. Did anyone get only one? Raise your hand if you only got one thing. Okay, anyone get zero? Could anyone not think of one blessing God has given them personally? Did anyone get more than three? Five? Okay. This is a really good exercise for us to stop and think about the ways that God has blessed us. I won't ask you to share your answers, but I can put up here a couple thoughts that I would hope are out there. God has blessed me with a family. Maybe you wrote down your husband or your wife. Maybe you wrote down that God has blessed you with children, or he has blessed you with a brother or a sister. Maybe you wrote down that God has blessed you with health, to be here tonight, to be recovered from an illness, or to just generally have good health. Maybe you gave thought to the friends that you have sitting here tonight, or maybe somewhere else, that God has blessed you with individually. Maybe you're sitting here thinking, God has blessed me with employment, and I'm grateful for that. Maybe you are thankful for the blessings of a home, of food, of stuff, clothing, things that we have to help make this life a little bit easier. Maybe you're thankful for the blessing of prayer and the avenue we have to talk directly to God, to thank him, to make requests to him. Maybe you put down you're thankful for Jesus and the sacrifice that he made for our sins, or you're thankful for this church. There's a lot of things that we have to be thankful for. So many blessings, good blessings from God. I think a really great exercise would be to sit down when you have not 30 seconds, but 30 minutes or 60 minutes and force yourself to write down personally every blessing you can think of. Every person's name, every physical possession, every spiritual thing you can think of. And look at that list when you're done with it, and maybe even keep it next to your bed. In 2 Corinthians chapter 2, we read in verses 8 and 9, "And God is able to bless you abundantly, so that in all things at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. As it is written, they have freely scattered their gifts to the poor, their righteousness endures forever." In Ephesians 1 and verse 3, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places." All right, step two. I want you to write down how we as a church have been blessed. I'm going to give you 10 seconds. Go. Okay, stop. I gave you 15. I won't ask for the sake of time how many you came up with, but there's a lot. There's a lot of blessings that we have as a local group. I'm just going to give you a few of mine. Each other. I don't know about you, but we've had the opportunity to worship places where there aren't as many each others as there are here, where there's 7 people or 10 people or 20 people. We've worshiped places where there's one man there, one Christian man, who I happen to be that one at the time, who did the lesson and the song and the prayer and the contribution and the Lord's Supper and the closing prayer and the announcements. We are really blessed to have so many Christians who happen to live in this part of the country that unless you've been in an environment where there aren't very many Christians, it's hard to truly understand that blessing. goes in line with that, but the love that we have here is a blessing. The love that we have for each other in this congregation is a blessing from God. We have two preachers, I try to say this every chance I get, who we should really be thankful for. And I think most of us are. I hope everyone is. But there are a lot of groups who don't have one preacher. They can't find one preacher, or they have a part-time preacher, or men preach at the congregation. Like, we have two of the best gifted, talented, godly, thoughtful, kind preachers you could possibly get. And what's great about Andy and Rick is they're so different that they really complement each other and help fulfill different unique roles within the church here. And we're blessed. I mean, Andy and Claire and the boys and Rick and Benita are a blessing to this church. We have seven elders. There are so many churches that would just love to have two elders so they could have elders. I've been part of those groups as well. We've worshiped places where every time we got together and prayed, we prayed for elders. We have seven. Is that right? Seven, right? Okay. We at one point, we had more elders than deacons. That's truly a blessing. We have seven men who, with their wives and their families, work to help make sure that each of us are fed spiritually, that we have the things we need as a local group, and ultimately to help shepherd us in our work here. Truly, truly a blessing. I could go on about each of these things, but for the sake of time, I'm going to let you fill in some of the gaps. We are really blessed to have kids here. And Josh and I talked a little bit about this last week. A lot of people say, you know, these first three, four rows, Clay and Mary, you can count too, are the church of the future. But the reality of it is this is the church today. This is not, you know, work to do in the future. Like, our kids here are the church today. And I can tell you from having taught both the high school class and the middle school class, we are really, really lucky to have so many great young people. A lot of churches don't have young people that care about each other or care about doing the right thing or care about the Word of God. I mean, we have young people who come to Bible class every week with their lessons done. For those of you who teach, am I right about that? Every week they come with their lessons done. They participate. They pray. We've got young men who step up here and offer prayers, who read scripture like Sam did tonight, who give talks, who wait at the Lord's table. Like, we are really blessed to have so many kids, young adults, in this congregation. You could go down even into the babies all the way up until middle school. Like, we have a pipeline of Christians coming. In the business world, we talk about a pipeline of talent. Like, we have a great pipeline of talent coming up. Future preachers, future elders coming up. Future preachers' wives and elders' wives sitting right here next to you. We should really be thankful for that blessing. It's really hot in here, isn't it? Everyone's fanning themselves. I'm going to end with this one because this is sort of the point of tonight's lesson. We are really blessed with growth. Part of the good work Andy and Rick and our eldership and each of us as members has done has resulted in growth. If you just looked around this morning, you could see, like, we are really space constrained. We're very tight on space. And as hopefully everyone in here knows, we have some really big plans ahead of us. We have some big plans. My challenge to us is to wake up and recognize all of the many blessings that we have, too many to list in 30 seconds or 15 seconds, and then think about how much Satan hates that, how much he despises what we just did. He is somewhere, maybe sitting up here, you know, I don't know where he is in here, but I guarantee wherever he is, he does not like what's happening today, right now. He does not like that you took time to think about the ways that God has blessed you personally and has blessed us as a church. So let's talk a little bit about why Satan hates so much when we count our blessings. Let's start with what we know about Satan. And I'm not going to go through all these passages again for time, but they're up here if you want to look them up. We know Satan is a liar. Now, what else does it say there? Not only is he a liar, but he's the what of liars. He's the father of liars. He's the head liar. He's the king liar. We also know that Satan does not play fair. What does that passage in 1 Peter 5, 8 say? Let's turn over there really quick. 1 Peter 5, 8. Be of sober spirit, be on the alert. Your what? The devil. What is that word? Your adversary, your competitor, your foe, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. Satan is described multiple times in God's word as being dishonest, deceitful, sneaking around. In the story of Job, I read that story again today. If you get a chance to read the book of Job, you realize how much Satan hates when we're blessed. And he talks to God. He says, God's like, what have you been doing, Satan? And he's like, well, I've been roaming the earth, and I've been looking for things like this, like people counting their blessings. And I found Job. And we know what God told him. God said, Job's a faithful and upright man. Like, he will be obedient and faithful to me no matter what. So we know the story. He says, you can do whatever you want to him, just don't hurt him personally, his health. And Satan took all of those physical blessings away from Job, all of them. And we know the story. But if you read that book, especially the first few chapters and then go all the way to the end, you really understand that Satan not only is a liar, but he does not play fair. There are no rules that he follows. This is really part two to some of the lesson that Andy gave this morning, but Satan hates unity. And I'm not going to go there and read all of 1 Corinthians 12, but I want us to look at 1 Corinthians 12, just the first few verses. I'll start in verse 14. For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot says, because I'm not a hand, I'm not a part of the body, is not for this reason, any of the less a part of the body. And if the ear says, because I'm not an eye, I'm not part of the body, it is not for this reason any the less a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would be the hearing? If the whole body were hearing, where would be the sense of smell? But now God has placed the members, each one of them, in the body, just as he desired. We can go on and read the rest of that and understand that the purpose of unity, God's plan for unity, as we talked about this morning. But we also know that Satan despises that. Satan wants nothing more than for there to be discord and disagreement in our group. He despises the growth of God's people. You see, Satan wants us to believe that God is not taking care of us, that he is keeping things from us, or he is withholding certain blessings. Now, I'm going to acknowledge that this next part, the some lies of Satan, there's too many to put up here. These are just a few that he's told me. I don't know if he's told them to you. My guess is these are lies he's told to other people besides me. But here's one of the lies he has told me. God is withholding blessings from you. There's things you deserve that you don't have. There's happiness, or there's things within your family that you should have that you don't have. He's keeping things from us. Do you remember what the devil did to Eve in the garden? He told her, God, he doesn't want you to have that. He's withholding this blessing from you because he doesn't want you to have the discernment, the wisdom, like him. I've been cheated. Like, that's not fair. Like, that's not right. Satan has told me, that's not right. Like, that's not fair. Like, look at, why would God allow this to happen to good people, or allow this to happen to you, or allow people who are barely old enough to walk, get sick and die, young kids, or fill in the blank. Why would God allow that to happen? It's okay to sin occasionally. We all know that we're going to sin. It tells you in the Bible, young people, like, we know we're going to sin, so Satan will say, you might as well just do it, and then you can pray for forgiveness. Hebrews 10:26 talks a little bit about that. But this is a lie that Satan tells us. I don't know about this one, these last two, but I know Satan's telling some of us here this, and it's a lie. We don't need to grow. We're fine. We're fine with the number of people we have here. There's a lot of people in this area that can go to other types of churches. We don't need to grow. We don't need to expand the borders of God's kingdom here. Our building is just fine. We don't need to take this site over here and put another building. We're good, just how we are. So I don't know if Satan's told you that, but he's told me that. Because he doesn't want us to grow. He doesn't want us to be unified. He would love nothing more than, as we think about what we're about to do with this congregation meeting or these important meetings tomorrow night and Tuesday night, he would love nothing more than for some of us to cause trouble about that or to speak out against it in ways that would be negative or unhelpful. That's what Satan does. Those are the lies that he tells us. How about this one? I'm not valued here. They don't want my opinion. They didn't ask me what color to whatever colors we paint it. I don't know. We're getting ready to go through a very, very difficult couple years. This is my opinion. But having been through this in a few different areas, both in business, personally, and with churches that have expanded or grown, this will be very difficult for us. And I think the worst thing we could do is forget the blessings that God has given us. And we can start listening to some of those seeds of doubt that Satan is planting around these lies. I'm going to end with this. We need to wake up. We need to recognize that God has blessed us so richly. I wish we had more time to just talk about that, but we need to understand that we are individually and as a local church, so blessed. We also need to wake up and remember or understand or recognize that Satan is right now working overtime, bending all the rules, playing unfairly, lying, telling partial truths to try to deceive us into not being unified with each other, not trusting our eldership, not trusting the leadership, not trusting God. That's what he's doing right now. We got to make sure that we're really prepared for that. There's a lot more we could say about ways to fight the devil. That may be a part three. But I want to end with this message that God is good. God is so good to us. We have been so blessed. And Satan is not good. Satan is the exact opposite of God and would love nothing more than to see us struggle individually or as a congregation. I want you to think about that as we sing this song. I want you to think about these thoughts a little bit as we go through the congregation meeting. By the way, this doesn't mean no one asks questions or no one can have a dissenting opinion. That's not what that means. But it does mean we have to approach it with love for each other. So I would encourage you to think about that. If there's someone here tonight who has been listening to the lies of the devil and need our help in some way, please come forward as we stand and sing.